We're continuing in the book of 1 John, and I'm picking up from last week's message, 1 John chapter 5, the first 12 verses. And let me again just read the passage for us. It says this: everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his children as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that we have overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. It is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And there are three that testify: the Spirit, the blood, and the water, and the three are in agreement. We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which he has given us about his Son. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because he has not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Last week I reminded us, friends, that Christianity is under attack. Under attack in many different ways. Intellectually, Christianity has been attacked from the very day it started, friends. Because from the very moment Christianity started, in a sense, with the resurrection, people questioned whether the resurrection actually happened. There is a moral challenge to our world. As people get more and more corrupt and more evil, so they reject the truth of the Bible more and more. And even the church is under greater persecution than has ever been before. It's growing. Even in Christian countries that previously tolerated and accepted Christianity very openly have now begun the process of kind of persecuting Christians. And last week we were reminded, friends, that we can believe that Christianity is the faith that to be trusted. We believe it, first of all, and I told you this last week, we believe it is because, friends, Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Christ. How do we know Jesus is the Christ? Well, John reminds us of a number of things in this passage. The first one is this: Jesus reminds us, friends, of the, John reminds us of the virgin birth. Jesus, friend, was born not only of water and blood, but of water. And the water there, that second reference to water, refers to the birth of Jesus Christ. Because you remember when John, when in the Gospel of John, Jesus speaks to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus says, "How can I enter my mother's womb again to be born again?" And then Jesus says to him, "You mustn't only be born of water," which is the physical birth, "you must also be born of the Spirit." So Jesus, friends, is the one who has come as a man. Not only is Jesus the Christ because that he of the virgin birth, he's also the Christ of what, because of what God spoke to, of him at his baptism. God says, "This is my Son, with whom I am well pleased." Friends, God has given his amen to Jesus. Surely we too should give the amen to Jesus. Thirdly, we're reminded that Jesus is the Christ because of the victory on the cross. Jesus defeated the cross once and for all. I heard an illustration this last week. If you were facing two religious leaders, let's say Buddha and Jesus, and you ask them how to get to heaven, who'll be able to answer you? Well, friends, only Jesus, because Jesus is the only one who's alive. Buddha is still in the grave. He's dead, frak, morse, do it, as much as you can think about it. Only Jesus is alive, friends. He's the only one who can show you the way to heaven, because he's the only one who can answer you. The resurrection is vital. And then fourthly, we're reminded that Jesus is the Christ, because the testimony of the Spirit, not only of the Spirit upon Jesus' life, the Spirit who worked in Jesus and empowered him to fulfill the commands of the Father, but also the Spirit in our own lives. We have the Spirit who testifies with us, friends. The Spirit came in Pentecost and confirms within us who Jesus is. So that brings us to the second point John is trying to make. How do we know Christianity, friends, is the ultimate religion? Well, the ultimate proof of Christianity, friends, is you and I. You and I. You and I are the proof that God is who He is. We are the proof, friends, that we belong to God. Well, how do we know we belong to God? Well, friends, John reminds us of the reason why we know we belong to God. The first one is this. We know we belong to God because we have believed that Jesus is the Christ. Friends, that's the primary reason why we know we belong to God. The Apostle Paul makes this point in Romans chapter 10, verse 19 to 13. He says this. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confessed and are saved. As the scripture said, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and blesses all who call on him. Everybody who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Friends, how do we know we belong to God? Because we've called upon the name of Jesus. That's the key, friends. What is the opposite to that? The opposite to calling upon the name of Jesus to be saved is to trust in your own ability to get to heaven. Now, before Paul writes Romans 10, verse 9 through 13, he writes earlier in the chapter, in chapter 10 and verse 1 to 4, he says this, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer is for all Israel is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge, since they do not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own. They did not submit to God's righteousness. Christ is the end of the law, so that they may be righteous, so that he may be righteous for everybody who believes. What Paul is saying, friends, is that even although the Jews have come the closest to kind of being part of God's family, even although they've got the law that was given them to follow and obey so that they would be called the family of God, friends, the Jews failed over and over and over and over and over again. Because, friends, it is impossible to keep the law. We all fail, friends. We all fail. None of us can be righteous enough. We all need somebody to stand in our place, friends. And Jesus is the only one Who can do that, friends? Nobody else can. So how do we know we belong to God? Friends, we know we belong to God because we have trusted in Jesus to open the way for us to get into eternity and have a relationship with God. Stop trusting in your own ability. Stop trusting in your own religiosity. Stop trusting in your own practices. Friends, there is only one way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. So how do we know we belong to God? Well, we know we belong to God because we've trusted Jesus. Secondly, we know we belong to God because we love others. We show love to others. God says this, the Bible says this, anyone who believes that Jesus is Christ is born of God. And everybody who loves the Father loves his children as well. Earlier on in the book of 1 John, John made this point. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. Friend, I don't love other people naturally. I don't know about you, but you know, when I meet somebody for the first time, I'm normally quite suspicious of them. Are you like that? I'm sure you are. You wonder, who are these people? I heard Patricia tell some of the ladies of an incident that happened on Friday with us. We had gone down to East London, and we had come back from East London. As we were pulling into the driveway, there was nobody at the gate or anything like that. As we drove up the driveway, I got out the car, and walking towards me were two young men. I don't know how they got in, because they weren't at the gate when I was there. Now, you can imagine what I felt like. The adrenaline kicked in. I wasn't feeling very loving at that moment. I was wanting to love them with a stick in my hand. There was no love in my heart at all. In fact, as I walked towards them, I think they could see that. I just asked them the question, how did you get in here? Because I know they were inside the yard already. They must have jumped the fence while we were at the town, and they were in the yard already. And when they saw us pulling in, they realized they needed to kind of make up a story. They very quickly realized I wasn't going to be very loving towards them at that point in time. Loving others, friends, is a natural. It's not what we do naturally. So why would I love somebody? Why would I kind of, you know, why would I be friends with people here in King Williamstown? I mean, my family live, one lives 1,000 kilometers away. The other one lives 2,000 kilometers away. You don't think I would love to be with them? Of course I would. But friends, God has brought us here because, friends, this is where he's led us and directed us. So we express love for each other. Yesterday, Patricia and the ladies had a knit and natter thing at our house there. And were they talking? He was just going, talking all the time. You know, as I went around there, I got an image again of what eternity must look like. Yeah, we're young and old, black and white, colored and Indian, all the representatives of our country talking, showing each other lessons, sharing a cup of tea. Friend, how do we know we love God? Because, friends, that is there. That love for others. We show we love God by how much we love others. Often quote that song, "They will know we are Christians by our love." Friends, surely that is, should be the case for us. How do we know we belong to God? Friend, you know you belong to God when you have a love for people that you would not normally have an affinity for. That is the reality of belonging to God. Well, the opposite is also true. John carries on in verse 3 and he says, how do we know that we love the children of God? We know that we love the children of God by loving God. The two go hand in hand, friends. We show that we love God by loving others, and by loving others, we show that we love God. It's like a tension. The two are in tension. John makes this clear earlier on in the book of 1 John in chapter 2. He says this, we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And if anyone obeys God, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know that we love him. Whoever claims to live in God must walk as Jesus walked. That's the key, friends. When we're walking as Jesus walked, when we're living the life that Jesus would have lived, friends, then we know that the love of God is in us. There's the fourth thing. We know we belong to God, friends. The fourth reason is that we have the capacity to overcome the world. What does John mean when he says that? Does it mean that, you know, we can go out there as warring conquerors? No, friends, doesn't mean that at all. It says this, everyone born of God overcomes the world. The world, yeah, means the realm of Satan's influence. And this is the victory to overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Paul explains that principle in this way. In Romans chapter 7, he writes this, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I do not want to do, but what I hate to do, this I do. For if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but the sin living in me. He says, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I want to do. This is keeping me, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I don't want to do, it is no longer I who are doing it. It is the sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there beside me. How do you know you're a child of God? Every time, friends, you are able to say no to temptation, you show that you're a child of God. Every time you can say no to temptation, you're proving more and more that you are a child of God. Friends, we're all faced with temptation. Temptation comes in many different ways. Jesus faced it. What makes us think that we're not going to face it? Now, if you are still filled with the world, if the devil still controls your heart, there are two things you're going to do. You're going to feed that temptation. And the other thing is, you're going to surrender to that temptation. But the child of God, when faced with temptation, turns his back on the temptation, or turns their back on the temptation, and turns to the Word of God. Every time, friends, you're faced with a temptation, be like Jesus. Every time Jesus, friends, was faced with temptation, what did he do? He quoted the Word of God back to the devil. Because he was controlled by God's Word, not by the tempting desires that naturally fill his heart. Then fifthly and finally, we know we are the sons of God. We have absolute proof that we are the sons of God. Because, friends, we have eternal life. We are already living, friends. John writes, anyone who believes that the Son of God has this testimony in his heart, anyone who does not believe God has made him as out to be a liar. This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. Two men were traveling in a train one day. One was an atheist and the other one was a Christian. And the atheist said to the Christian, How can you be sure that you're going to go to heaven? And the Christian answered him and said, I know I'm going to heaven because I've put my trust in Jesus. The atheist says, well, you know, what does that help you? How do you know that's even true? So as they were talking, the bus conductor or the train conductor came through this coach and asked them for their ticket. And he took them from the Christian conductor and he clipped it and he took it from the other man and he clipped his and he walked on. And the Christian said to the man, how do you know where you're going? He says, well, I clipped the ticket. Then he said to him, did the conductor ask you whether you're a good person or not? And the man said, no. Then he said this, I know where I'm going because I've got the right ticket. It's got nothing to do with me. I know where I'm going because my ticket is what Christ has done for me. Friend, how do you know you belong to God? How do you know that? How can you be certain? Well, friends, hang on to the tickets. There is only one ticket, friends. And Jesus makes it very clear. Nobody comes to the Father. Nobody's on this journey to heaven unless you've trusted in the ticket that Jesus has provided. He alone, friends, is worthy of our praise. He alone is the one who is absolute proof that he is the Son of God. John makes that so wonderfully clear is part of this chapter. There is no other that can claim to be the Son of God, friends. There is only one. That's Jesus. But the question that you need to ask yourself is, what ticket are you hanging on to? Are you hanging on to the ticket of Jesus? Or are you hanging on to whatever you may have in your hand? Whatever you've got in your hand, friends, doesn't get you where you need to be. Only if you have the right ticket. Lord, thank you that you alone are able to take us into eternity. Thank you, Lord, that we have eternal life because we have you. It's got nothing to do with us, Lord. We have eternal life because we have put our faith and our trust in you and you alone. In Jesus' name we pray that. Amen.